Pastor Joe, and Yvana, and the team, and all the volunteers. You do an amazing job. Don't you love Pastor Joe and the team and Yvana? Do a great job. Every time I come, and I haven't come since last year, they don't let me out very often. I just see growth. I love it. I see old faces, new faces. If you don't know me, hey, Jason, you're here. You defected to Moray Field. Staring. You know, I'm Nina. I'm the one on the screen that you sometimes see, used to see, but Pastor Mark and I are the location pastors. But Pastor, really, it's Pastor Joseph and his team that do all the hard work. Al, it's good to have Al and Indy. Yeah, it's so good. Hey, do you know something? I'm going to be a grandmother soon. Been waiting to say this for a long time. I'm going to be a nonna. I said, you can call me whatever you want. And they said, we want to call you nonna because my background is Italian. And so nonna sounds so old. But anyway, I'll go with them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it brings life. We thank you that it lifts faith. We thank you, O God, that it teaches us all things to live from Monday to Sunday, O God. And I pray that today, O God, we will take heed of what we hear. From your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take heed. That's an old-fashioned word. Hey, King James, there you go. Take note from the message. Here we go. Well, this morning I'm going to be speaking on being grateful in every season. There was a study that was done with a group of people who were feeling quite anxious and depressed. And so they gathered this group of people. It was a bit of a study that they wanted to do to see the response. And so they got this group of people who were discouraged, depressed, and with lots of anxiety. And they separated the group into two groups. And they said to the group, one group, they said, we want you every day to write what you're anxious about and what you're depressed about. Every day for 30 days. Then they said to the other group, we want you every day to write down what you're grateful for every day. And the remarkable result was that the group that wrote down every day for 30 days that they, what they were anxious and depressed about were more anxious and depressed. And the group that were writing down what they were grateful for had freedom, had liberty, and they felt less anxious and depressed and more sense of looking forward. Do you know that's what the study shows? But we know that the Word of God came way before this study, teaches us that gratitude is a way of faith, is a way opens up doors. You know, and the study showed three things, and psychologically it showed that when we are grateful, when someone is grateful, there's a happier you, have more positive emotions and thoughts will come out of gratefulness, more aware and more aware of wake time, and there's an increased self-satisfaction and enhanced mood. The study also showed that physically there were benefits, not only psychologically, but physically there were results of and benefits of a stronger immune system, healthier bodies, less body pains and aches, yes, optimum blood pressure and cardiac functioning was better, and a sleep and awake cycle was more evident as well. It also showed that there was better social benefits for gratitude. Here's what they were. Better communication, stronger interpersonal relationships, more likability amongst group members. You know, like, it makes sense, hey. Yeah. If you're a misery guts, who wants to be your friend? Yep. More involvement as a team member. Like, that's true. If everyone's going, oh, last week, oh, it was just so bad, wasn't it? No. This week's going to be a great week. That gratitude, we're going to see great things. Gratitude may be our least thought weapon for freedom we desire. Let me repeat that. Someone asked me to repeat it last service. What did it mean? When we are grateful, we have a weapon in our hands, and that weapon is freedom. Because the enemy hates it when we are grateful. He wants us to be misery guts. He wants us to be negative. He wants us to look, oh, the prices of diesel. Oh, my gosh. I don't think that God can provide and change that. He's not going to change, but he will provide in a way that you least expect and think. Amen. Because the righteous will never be forsaken. There might be a little bit of adjustment to your budget, but he still provides. You can't go for that steak, that $200 steak, because you got to pay for diesel, but still, he'll provide. Hey? Yeah. Pork on your fork. The Bible proves this. Through the scripture we read, there is the story of the 10 lepers. And we see, I want us to read this story together. We see the response of what gratitude does. So let's read together Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 17. Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there he met him. They met him, 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And then they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go. Stay with me, go. It's very important, that point. Go. Show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. Say returned. And with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his knees and feet and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Samaritan. I always say Samaritan. Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 healed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You know, in this story, we see an obvious miracle that happens. 10 men healed. But there are two actually major things that happens in this story that I want to show you this morning that I believe we can apply to our personal everyday lives. Number one, I've got 2 points, and you've already said them. Number one, go. The simple word is go. In this passage, as it says, they went. Jesus said, go. And it was through their obedience of going. Jesus didn't heal them there and then. He said, go. Now, you've got to understand something. The temple is where the priests were. And they were, in the day, known as the doctors or the physicians who would examine if someone was healed or not, testify, are they really healed? I don't know if they took their blood pressure or what they did, but these were lepers. They had leprosy. So they were ever evident of their disease. They were always put in a colony. Lepers could never again meet with their families or their kids or be in public. They were in a colony because it was highly contagious, leprosy. And so they could never go to church. They could never go to the temple because they had leprosy. So you could imagine this scene. Here is 10 men. One's got no fingers. One's probably got no hair. One's got flaky, because that's the evidence of leprosy, is your skin starts to flake off. You lose limbs. So you imagine they're crippled. They're like walking to the temple. Simon, what are they going to do to us when we get there? But one by one go, Peter, my finger just grew. I didn't have a finger. You imagine the story, 10 lepers, right? Crawling almost, very fearful because They're not supposed to be in public. And here they are going because Jesus said, go. Didn't heal them. He said, go. Their obedience of going. And then all of a sudden, by the time they get to the temple, leprosy's gone. Totally healed. Yep. And you see that in Leviticus, it explains that their skin disease was a cause of impurity and not wholeness. And so they could never in the past go to the temple, and here they are at the temple, and they get examined and they get welcomed back into society. So what this tells us, that while God sent them to the priest, right, he was doing the miracle on the way. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. That's obedience in going when God tells you to do something and you go, I want to see it before I believe it. That faith is going before you see it, right? And so we see that faith, that going was an open door to their miracle. If they never went, would they have got their miracle? I don't know, I'm not Jesus. But I do believe that part of their obedience was part of their miracle. They gave them access to the place they always were off limits to since they had leprosy. And all throughout the Bible, we see two types of miracles. We see miracles that are instantaneous. We see the man who had a withered arm grew. We see the woman who had the issue of blood healed. We see so many miracles. Just read the Bible and you will see so many miracles that were instantaneous. You're sitting in this room like me who's had an instantaneous miracle, right? I'm sure if I was to pass this mic around, you can tell me of an instantaneous miracle that you asked God for and it happened. But there's also the second one, which is progressive miracles, that it's in the obedience, it's in the asking, it's in the keep on knocking, it's in the keep of harassing God. I'm not letting go until you heal me, until you do something in my life, until you do a change in my marriage or in my relationship, in my workplace. It's a progressive. We see Naaman was one of those progressive miracles where he had leprosy and he was asked to go and dip himself in a probably very dirty river. I don't know which river it was, but if it was the Jordan, it's filthy, filled with feces. It's disgusting. Go seven times. Seven times healed. Imagine if he stopped at six going, this stinks. Would he have got his miracle? I don't know. It wasn't there. But there's a miracle came out of obedience. Yep. Joshua, when he was asked to march with the people around the walls of Jericho seven times, I'm sure on the sixth, maybe even the third time going, oh, come on, this is tiring. How many kilometres we walk now? Like, come on, this is too much, God. What are you asking me to ask, to pray, to believe? Okay, I've been asking for so long. Who's been believing for a miracle more than 5 years? Keep believing. Keep asking. Imagine if Joshua at lap number six said, come on, guys, I'm out, tapping out. Right? Wouldn't have seen the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho come down. Ask, keep on asking. I want to encourage you this morning. You don't know how close your miracle is. I minister to people. This is my 40th year of ministry. I know, right? It's incredible, and I'm still standing, and I'm still believing, and I'm still praising God because it's the best thing you can do is serve the Lord. You're all priests. You're all pastors. Did you know that? Just don't have a credential, but you are according to the Lord. Hey, it's good. And many times I've met many people. I remember one lady who was believing for her marriage to come together. And we would pray together. We would believe together. And in the end, after I think it was a year, 2 years, 2 years of believing, she goes, that's it. I'm tapping out. I'm going. I'm stop asking. Do you know, 6 months later, her husband came back to the Lord. Wow. Awesome. She was gone. I couldn't get her back. So now, I don't know if he's ever changed. He will ever change. Oh, dear Lord, come on. Let us be persistent and hold faith and not give up. Now, I just heard 2 weeks ago that she's walked back into church. Praise God. Praise God. Each one of us have an opportunity to obey. The nine had an opportunity to obey. All 10 initially had the opportunity to obey. God, this is going to be embarrassing walking to the temple. But he told us to go, so let's go. And we need one another to encourage one another in the Lord, to hold on, keep believing. You know, society teaches us to say, I'll only believe when I see it. God says, why don't you believe it and then you see it? That's faith. Society teaches us to say, if I understand more, if I get the information, then I'll maybe believe. And God, if you would just show me what you want my next steps to be, then I'll go. Just say, go. Believe. Hold on. The kingdom of God says that you start to obey first. Then you look back and you see the hand of God throughout your whole life. And you will see and you will understand what God was doing all along. Amen? Thanks, Elliot. Glad you're with me. Because God wants us to be different and to obey and to go when we don't know, when we can't see. We often say, God, show me first, then I'll obey. No, go first. Obey me, then you'll see. Doubt tries to stop us. Right in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, what did the devil do? Seeded a voice of doubt. Did God really say? Doubt makes you pause, because she did. Naughty Eve. Faith makes you move. Faith makes you move. Doubt makes you pause. You start listening to the enemy and the voice. Or maybe God's not going to do it for me because it's been too long. No. He listened to the voice of faith because faith goes, I'll keep on asking. I'll keep believing. Obedience is enough. That's all you need. Obedience is enough. What is doubt depriving you or your life? Are you unwilling just to take the first step? To go and believe. I'm very curious if the season that we have so much anxiety and depression, and even more so now with the prices of petrol and food, right? Because apparently the food prices are going up too now. So are we trusting in the bad news at 6 o'clock at night? Or are we trusting in the good news that is there 24/7. The righteous won't be forsaken. Trust in him. Okay? Amen? The one who holds it in his hand, the Lord, that's who we have to trust. The one that has already planned our future, that's the one who we trust in. The one that has lit up our steps to make us walk, that's the one who we trust in, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow fear to creep in, and it will come in. It will come in, especially in this season, even more so. It will come in. God has you, and God has it all under control. Nothing goes by his nose that he doesn't know about. He is in charge, remember? Yeah. The enemy's been defeated. So put your trust in the one who knows all things and is in charge. Imagine what it must have been like for these 10 men who walked up to the priest completely healed, given a clear bill of health from the priest. I wonder what it did to their faith. Yeah. Oh, he did it. Jesus did it. 11th hour, 59th second. But he did it. I wonder what it did as, you know, they looked And they saw all their fingers, all their arms, all their legs, no flaky skin. Hair started to grow back. I wonder what it was like for their families to have their dads back at the dinner table. I wonder what it would have been like. Remember, they could never sit at a table and have dinner with their family. They were executed to the compound of the lepers. Imagine that spaghetti bolognese. Mary is unbelievable. Imagine what it did. Imagine what it did. Dad, can you come to my sports day? I'm number one in stone throwing. Imagine seeing Dad at the sidelines going, go, Joseph, go, Joseph. Imagine, because they were whole. They were healed. Imagine if they just stopped when Jesus says go and they were halfway down on the road. Someone, go back. Or persecutes them, throws a stone, get away, you know, unclean. And they go, hasn't happened yet, let's go back. But no, they obeyed the master. They obeyed Jesus. He impacted not only their families, not only their children, but all those around, because they were known as the lepers. Go. Will you go? Will you obey when the Lord speaks to you? Will you keep asking? Will you keep knocking? Will you step out even if you don't understand the game plan? Even when you don't see it? Even when it's not playing out like you thought it would be playing out? Even if that dream hasn't come to pass? Will you keep going and obeying? Will you keep going? Will you keep obeying? Because that's what all God asks. Go. Faith. Step out. Go. In this story, there was one man. One man that took it one step further. He came back. Point number two, returned. Return. As we go back and we see in that passage, we see that this one who was healed, he came back, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his feet and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this one foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go. Your way, your faith has made you well. Have you ever thought why Jesus said it's your faith that's made you well? You know, in this passage, we see that being whole, being healed, and being the actual meaning of this is being well. It says you made well is actually saved and restored and whole. It actually means not only was he healed in body, but he was healed in mind. He was healed in his mind. Salvation visited him as well. Yeah. And we see it's not this obvious miracle, but it was an obvious miracle. He was whole in body, but whole in mind as well. God reassured him of eternity. Yeah. That's what he was saying to this man. We see that Jesus reassured him of his wholeness. When you return with a grateful heart, you give God an opportunity to do more and bring healing and wholeness into your life. There's more. The second healing needed to happen because if we're not whole completely, not only in body, but in our physical, but in our mind, we will go back. Can I trust him again? Can I trust her again? Can I trust the Lord again? Will the cancer come back? Will he leave again? Will she leave again? Will my job fail? You know, but whole of mind is like, even if those thoughts and doubts come, it's like, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm believing. I'm grateful for what I have now. I want to illustrate this is that if your mind doesn't get healed, then you live in a capacity of the past. My daughter, when she was two, Rachel, she broke her arm, fell off the bunk bed, negligent father, and the bunk bed and broke it in two places. And when we took her to the doctor the next day, because we didn't really believe that she hurt herself, because Rachel was always lying. pastors, kids, you got to watch them. And so it broke into two places. When we took the doctor, put her in a cast. And then 6 weeks later, so she deferred everything with her left arm and did everything. Like, she learned to live with this arm that could never work, in her mind, could never work. 6 weeks later, we go back, take it off, and the doctor said to us, she will defer in using her left arm because she thinks it still hurts. She thinks she can't, but you've got to retrain her brain to say, no, Rachel, you can feed yourself with this hand again. You can use this hand. It's not going to hurt. It's healed. It's whole. And sometimes we go back to the impossible. We think, oh, can I really believe in God because that happened back then? Can I really trust God in the season? God has already done something in your life, and you've got to remind your mind, no, God is faithful from the beginning to the end. And you've got to keep talking to yourself and rewiring your brain to faith, because we have to have renewed mind. When it came from this leper returning, his mind was whole and healed. Why did he get an extra round of healing? Simple gratitude. Gratitude doesn't just change how we feel, it unlocks deeper healing in our lives. Did you know that gratitude will free us from the toxic emotions in our brain? There's research to even prove that. Gratitude, the power of gratitude, it shifts from fear to faith, from lack to provision, from pain to purpose. Amen? Amen? When the leper came back, his gratitude just didn't thank Jesus. It opened the door for a deeper healing in his life. I want to explain to you through this story of Marcus. Marcus had a redemption journey through gratitude. This is a true story of a young man who was addicted to drugs, so much so he tried everything to come off of his addiction. And one day he literally decided, I'm going to go cold turkey. And if you know much about drug addiction, it's told cold turkey is really dangerous. You can actually die. And he ended up in ICU, and the doctors revived and got him back, said, Marcus, you can't do it this way. You can't go to cold, you'll kill yourself. But he was so desperate. He just wanted to be free from it. So what he did, he was so desperate, so he joined a group in the local church next to his place, and he went there, and they said, you know, Marcus, what we do in this group is that we have a group, we have a WhatsApp group communication. And so what we do is every day you've got to write something that you are gratitude, three things that you are thankful and you have gratefulness for. And he's like, I've got nothing to write. But it was one of the things of being part of the group. They had to write three things that they're grateful for. So he said the first morning was so hard. He just didn't know what he was grateful for. He was so riddled with depression. And he said, I'm going to write these three things. The air that I breathe, the roof over my head, and the food that I eat. Three things. That's what he wrote. And every morning he started to get excited, and he couldn't wait. He couldn't sleep sometimes some of the nights because he had all these things that he wanted to be grateful for. You know, in that journey of gratefulness, something began to shift in him. In that time, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour through this group. He realized that Jesus was his Savior and that he could trust in him. But the favorite part, he said, was a day that I could wake up in the morning and say, I am grateful that I've had 24 hours without drugs. Wow. So in that gratefulness, he met Jesus. In that gratefulness, he had breakthrough. Yep. Do you know, it kick-started his journey to a relationship with God. I will choose to be grateful every day, knowing the power of gratitude. Why didn't the nine return? I always wondered this. Have you wondered this? Well, I'll tell you. They felt entitled, perhaps. Well, we got a healing, that's all. That's good. Or perhaps they didn't want to go back to a painful situation. Oh, that's the place where we were mocked. That's the place where everyone knew who we were. So we see perhaps they were the two reasons, but this one came back. There's truth. God met them in their brokenness. When you come back, he wants to heal not body, he wants to heal mind, he wants to heal complete healing. A complete healing. I have the musos to come, please, the musicians to come. Perhaps for some of us, as we look back on difficult season of our life, I don't know your stories, your difficult stories. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to think of those times, those difficult times. But we need to acknowledge that even in those difficult times, the Lord was with us. Go. Obedience releases the miracle. Return equals gratitude completes the miracle. Go. Obedience releases the miracle. Return. Gratitude completes the miracle. Jesus, our ultimate example, isn't he? You know, I'm not going to have an altar call today because I want you to give you some homework. I want you to, I'm a school teacher just for a little moment here. If you can't do this, get your five-year-old child to do it. Say no to use these better than I do. Put something on your phone. I got grateful. So when I wake up in the morning, what am I grateful for? What are the three things that I'm grateful for? Start your day, not on TikTok, not on Instagram, not on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on the news. What am I grateful for? The roof over my head, food on my table, the great sleep that I've had. What am I? Choose to start your day. What are you grateful for? What are you grateful? We are creatures, some of us more than others. Of waking up, oh gosh, another day. What's that going to bring today? Oh my gosh, it'll fill up the tank today. You know what? Start with, thank you, Jesus, that I had a great night. Thank you, Lord, that there's no chalk mark around my body. Thank you, Lord, that I have food on my table. Thank you for my three children. Thank you, Lord, that I'm soon going to be a nonna. Thank you, Lord, for great people that we have at Emerge. Be great. Thank you for my neighbours, even they're annoying, but thank you. Amen? That's your homework. Every day, right? Hopefully you all look in the mirror. I think you do because you're all good looking this morning. You look in the mirror every day, right? What am I grateful for today? As a reminder, even just words grateful in lipstick. If you don't have lipstick, crayon. If you don't have crayon, raid somebody's lipstick thing. Grateful. There's these pens that you can write on mirrors now, chalk pens. Grateful. What are you grateful for? Jesus, we're coming into Easter right now, a few days' time. Betrayed, beaten, crucified. And he said, Father, forgive them. Chose to surrender. He chose to be obedient. He chose to love. Because of that, we have life. We can be grateful for that. And right now, you may be here this morning. You've never given your life to Jesus. I want to encourage you today to trust him, to invite him into your life. My life has been awesome. Like Pastor Joe said in communion, we will go through difficult times. We will have trouble. But you know, in my troubles, Jesus has been my best friend. He stood by me. He's provided. He's comforted me. The Holy Spirit, who was promised to be alongside of me, is constantly there, whether I'm in the car, whether I'm in the bathroom. He is there. He's constantly with you. With every eye closed and every head bowed. I don't want to close this meeting without giving you an opportunity to say, you know what, I want to trust Jesus. I want to invite him into my life. If that's you. Perhaps you've been doing your own thing. You've sort of gone your own way and you want to say, no, I want to come back to the Lord. I want to trust him again. I want to walk in his ways. If that's you this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to pray a prayer with you. If you want to raise your hand as an indication to me saying, yes, Nina, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, as I look over. Perhaps you're here and you go, I want to do it. Your heart's beating crazy. That's an indication. At the end of the service, why don't you go to the hub or the new here banner and just ask, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back. But I want to pray for you right now. Today, I'm not having an altar call. I've given you homework. Be grateful. Perhaps today you're here and you feel broken, you feel overwhelmed, you feel stuck. Jesus can bring healing to your situation. He can bring healing to your mind and to your heart. Perhaps you haven't returned to say, thank you, God, that you were even with me in that difficult time. Today is your moment to say, God, heal me. I come and I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you have done in my life. Heal and restore my heart. Renew my mind. Where there's anxiety, where there's brokenness, I ask God. And I thank you, Lord, for what you have already done. I choose to have gratitude in my life. God, I pray that every person in this place, you know where they're at right now. Your word says, you know how many hairs are on their head? That's how much you know us. Father, I pray that you'll bring healing to their physical bodies, but healing to their minds and to their souls. I pray, oh God, that their spirits will be renewed with faith as they go on the journey, just like this 10 and this one who came back to say, thank you, Jesus. I am grateful that you are with me. I am grateful that you'll never leave me. I am grateful that you'll never forsake me. And I don't know what's going to happen, but God, I am grateful that you're in my future, not only in my today. Father, bless every person as they take the attitude of gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.